I'm going to try to get on your good side right away. I'm going to try to be short today. Does that sound good? I just won the crowd over, I think. I don't know what it's like for you if you have kids or grandkids to get ready in the morning. Taylor mentioned it's tough getting them ready for school or getting ready for church. It's difficult. But we, in the pastor's house, we may not be as fine a Christians as some of you are because there can be some conflicts before church. It can be stressful. We can say some things to each other that aren't nice. We can be impatient. And there was one of those times that, unfortunately, I leave that all to my wife most of the time because I have to be at the church building early. But there was one time a couple of years ago when I was home and trying to get the kids ready. And again, the 2 years ago, and I'll go ahead and show that picture of my family from 2 years ago. It didn't make it. That's weird. I messed up. So who knows what kind of slides Greg has. I probably gave him the wrong slide. So this will be interesting, won't it? But a couple of years ago, Caleb, my son, was picking on my oldest daughter, Vila. And he was really getting on her nerves, and I stopped him, and I said, Caleb, don't do that. And he just looked at me with this big smile and the grin and the dimple. And I said, you really like to bother your sister, don't you? And he just smiled and looked at me. And then my youngest daughter, Cora, was watching this, and she can be pretty firm, and she said, hey, don't forget about me. I like to bother people, too. We're the bothering twins. And they were the bothering twins. But do you have bothering twins that maybe follow you around all the days of your life and something that just seems to be bothering you constantly? Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a condition, but things that follow you and bother you. Maybe you have them. The goal, we're going to be talking about what follows us today, and the goal for this whole series has been to look into the 23rd Psalm, maybe the most famous poem of all time, as it talks about restoring, how God restores our soul. And our hope is that some week or by the end of it, you'll be able to say, it is well with my soul. God has done a work in me that's been restorative. God has done a work in me that's been refreshing. And that God's the one who does it. Or at least if you're not able to say that, at least say, it's better in my soul. You know, I'm seeing God refresh me. I'm seeing God's restorative work in me. And I'm trusting that God is at work in me, and I have hope that He restores my soul. So that's the goal today. If you will read this, we'll see how far it goes, because who knows what kind of slides he has. But if you'll read the 23rd Psalm with me, I'd appreciate it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Forever. Well, it's this week's slide, so that's good. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I love that word there. Before goodness and mercy, what is that word? Surely. It's not maybe goodness and mercy will follow me, not perhaps or possibly goodness and mercy will follow me, not even hopefully goodness and mercy will follow me, but there is that word of certainty, like this is going to happen. It's strong, it's confident. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days my life. I want to talk about you for a second. I know other people are hiding this truth, but honestly, you can be a little bit moody. Did you know that? You can be a little moody. Yeah. You can be sometimes sometimes you can be a little bit fickle. If you look back maybe a couple years ago, did you have some different beliefs than you do now? I know when I read back old journal writings from years back, I look at them and I think, what was I thinking? I have changed. And hopefully I'll change later, but there's days that are good and there's bad. There's days when my perspective is everything is bad and days when everything seems good. My perspective changes moment to moment. I can be like the wind that changes. I can be moody. We can be moody. We can shift. But God is steady. In Scripture, God is described as a rock. Steady. He's eternal. There's even Scripture that says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You aren't the same person that you were yesterday, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or whatever. And you won't be the same tomorrow. We shift and we change, but God is steady. And here we have that word, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There's a confidence. Now we're going to shift away from the 23rd Psalm for a minute, and we're going to look at something that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2. Oh, that one. Yeah, let's use that one. That's a good one. James 4. Well, thanks, Greg. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. God is forever. God is eternal. But we are not eternal. We're a mist. Just as our moods shift and change, our perspectives are different, our lives are a mist. We're not staying here forever, but God is steady. In 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 11, Paul writes this, "This saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." In the Bible, there are 1,784 ifs. Most of them are conditional conjunctions in front of God's promises. And one of the options that we have here is denying God. If we deny him, he will deny us. We have options with God. There's a lot of ifs. Your life is made up of a lot of ifs. There's a lot of things. You wouldn't be here today if some of your ifs were different. And as people, we have different kinds of ifs. Some of our ifs are, if only regrets. If only I had never done that. If only I had never met him. If only I would have done this differently. And we can get caught up in those if only regrets. Some of the ifs can be exciting. Imagine if. Imagine if this happens and this happens. This is the possibility. So if is a short two-letter word that's loaded with potential. The potential can be really good and exciting, or the potential can be not so good. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We have that ability, we have that right God has granted to us. We can deny him, or we can endure. We have different options. And then, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, I've been on the wrong side of if too much, I feel like the good kind of ifs are for better people than me. And a lot of my life is if only regret, and I'm just stuck in this if, and it's not good. And I just fear that the good kind of if is for other people. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even if you've been faithless, God remains faithful. It's not too late for you, no matter what kind of if-only regrets that you have. There's an exciting possibility in the future, depending on your if. It can be an imagine-if future. There's a song I really like that we're going to do next, and it's great. It reminds me of Taylor's words, too. It talks about how God is there for the orphans and different types of people. But one of the lines that always gets to me is, "And in the night when all our hope is lost, you are the one who won't give up on us." Even if you're faithless, God remains faithful. We can give up on God, but God doesn't give up on us. God remains faithful to you. He's not going to give up on you, no matter what. Maybe you're in one of those seasons right now where everything seems hopeless, and you need to hear that God remains faithful. God has not given up on you. God is still speaking to you, reaching you. It doesn't have to be if only in the future, but God has some exciting imagine if possibilities for you because God is faithful. Let's go back to the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I grew up in a family that boats. We go out and we do boating, and we go to a lake every year. And one of the things that boats do is that boats leave a wake. When a boat has been someplace, you can see by looking behind, there's a wake. And what that wake, it's a couple waves that go out, and it's what has been left behind by a boat. Today, as we're thinking about goodness and mercy following us, the question is, what's been in the wake of our life? Even if you're not so proud about it, again, God, don't despair. God remains faithful. God cannot deny himself. God is going to remain faithful. But what kind of a wake are you leaving behind is the question. Do you know that sheep, because this 23rd Psalm is about sheep, sheep can be of the most damaging livestock that there is. It can ravage a land. If sheep are not well led, they overgraze. They can tear land apart. And when they are gone, what they leave behind is not good at all. It's destructive of the land. So sheep have the potential to be the most destructive livestock that there is if they're not well led. And that's the if. But if sheep are well led, they have the potential to be of the best and most beneficial livestock, because they can eat destructive weeds. The manure that they put out is great for the soil. They can redeposit rich soil of the lower lands into the upper lands that need that rich soil. Ancient literature even called sheep those of the golden hooves, because sheep, if they were well led, and they when they went from one place to another, the land would be better than when they were there. Goodness and mercy was following them. David does not use a conditional conjunction in this verse. It's not if goodness and mercy will follow us, it's surely. And the reason why it's surely is because who is leading him? Who's leading the psalmist here? The very first couple of verses we know. Who's leading? The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And shepherds don't get any better than that. Good shepherds always lead their sheep in a way where they're beneficial for the land. And so David can say surely because he's following the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows how to lead. The good shepherd knows when to take them into the lowlands and when to take them up. And as long as he's already established, he's following the good shepherd. So surely goodness and mercy are going to follow him all the days of his life. Following the Lord, who is sure to leave behind goodness and mercy. When we get behind the Lord, we can be confident that goodness and mercy are going to follow us too. Because we leave behind a wake. Sometimes we may go off and we may waver, but he remains faithful. He's always there available to lead us, and he's always going to give us enough information to know how we can follow him. He always speaks to us. And if we're his sheep, we can hear his voice and we know which direction to go. That's why we can be confident and say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You leave behind a wake. I want to encourage you to reflect on this question. What wake am I leaving behind? Are things better after I've been someplace? Are other people? What kind of impact am I making on the people? What kind of impact am I making on my family, church, my community, my school, my workplace? Is it better because I've been there? Are people better off? When I look at people, am I trying to bring out the best in them? Are they better off because I've been there? Do I leave goodness and mercy behind me? If we follow the Good Shepherd, we can be confident that that's the kind of wake that we leave behind, because that's His wake. We're just following Him, and He's doing the work, and we're letting Him pull us in that direction where the wake is goodness and mercy. So I want to encourage you to reflect on that. And maybe there's some areas where the Lord will speak to you and say, you've been off a little bit. You're not following me in this area. You're not following me. Come here and follow me. I think the Holy Spirit, I trust that He can speak to all of us and lead us, because that's Jesus has given us. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, our guide, and He'll follow us so that goodness and mercy can be in our wake. If you're struggling and thinking, man, I've left a mess. My wake isn't going to be good. I see some damaged groups, damaged people because of me. Again, it's not too late. Today can be a day of salvation. God remains faithful. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And maybe the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and you realize it's time for a change. There's no better time than today. You can embrace Christ. You can embrace the Holy Spirit speaking to you and say, I belong to you. I follow you. It's not too late. Turn to Christ. You can follow Him and leave a better wake. So I want to encourage all of us, wherever we are, to look to, if you're a disciple, maybe you've been following Christ, think about the kind of wake you're leaving and think about how you're following Christ. I just want to encourage, let this be a time, let this psalm be a reminder that He leads us and that there's a wake behind Him and there's a wake behind us. And we want to align ourselves so that we're in His wake, leaving goodness and mercy behind us. Are we leaving people better than we found them? Are we leaving places and groups better than we find them? That's the challenge. Imagine if we do leave the kind of wake, what kind of wake we can leave behind if we're following Christ. Imagine, maybe Christ will use you to bring someone new into the kingdom. Maybe Christ wants to reach someone who's lost to be found. Maybe, like Taylor's story, there's somebody who's been a victim of something terrible and just going through something awful. And God wants to use you to bring hope and love and security, faith to some person. Imagine what God can do. Maybe He wants to use you to bring reconciliation between people of different races or people who are fighting or people who just, there's hatred or separation from God. Imagine what God can do through us. I've been here, just like Amanda Terrell said beforehand, I've been here for about a year or two. And one of the things that I did is I asked a handful of people this question during my first year. Came up with some things. We did it under the guise of sending a couple people from Meridian to Mars. And I asked people, and these are people that we want to follow their lifestyle. Like, what we were basically looking for is, who are some people who live in the kind of way that we aspire to live? And so I wanted to talk to quite a few different types of people and just see what the most common answers were, because these couple of people that we would send to Mars, they really embody what we want to be like as a church. And one of the reasons why I think I've decided that I like being here at Meridian is because of, I'm only going to share one of the persons who was chosen, and that was Gloria Munn. This congregation is smart enough to look up to Gloria Munn as an example. What do you see when you see Gloria? I see in her wake, I've talked to people who know her, what I see is goodness and mercy following her. And since we're smart enough to pick Gloria, I feel good to be the pastor here. And so that is an example of somebody who has left goodness and mercy all the days of her life following her as she follows the Good Shepherd. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us and Your mercy that You extend to us. Help us to be people who follow Jesus and show Your goodness and Your mercy to others. Father, we pray, like as we go through this life where it's hard, it's difficult, we suffer, we hurt, we get confused, help us to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Help us to recognize Your voice. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us words of guidance, words of hope, words of encouragement, so that we can live in a way where goodness and mercy follow us as we follow you. I pray that you strengthen us in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.